still without water. Georgetown is under siege. The enemy is trying to attack the morale of the people. Now, I wouldn't be disheartened, although the struggle, wherever it calls, does not seem to disturb those who are truly committed. It seems to me that they really lack an effective way of doing business, or they wouldn't be pulling this kind of jackshit operation. And they're irritating. No one's being killed, and no one's being napalmed. No one's being shot down. So you might want to discuss where we are this humid evening. It's hotter than usual. But we have our beautiful family together. And those musical people, it's hard to rehearse. It's like entertainment to you, but it's not entertainment to them. After a while, it becomes a lot of drudgery and irritation over and over and over and over again. And I don't think we'll do something about stopping this, whatever is this. It's uncomfortable to the ear tonight. I've got blood sugar problem as usual. Anyway, the BA system.
That would have been nice for me, but it wouldn't have been nice. No way do I mind that, as long as I can see that kind of beauty of cooperation. I don't care what happens to me, other than that I can somehow make you happy. Then life has meaning. I thought today as I saw, I was saying to John, my oldest son, John Sr., when I saw Kay and Dove Lundquist walking down, she said, he's teaching me all the things about the farm. And I thought, this is worth it all for just a few examples like that. Here was a grandmother and a child who'd adopted each other in just a short while. What a bond. What a great bond of friendship. Socialism creates beauty for ugliness. In spite of all the problems we have, it's utterly fantastic to watch what socialism can do. And if you'd be more cooperative yourself, we'd live in a near-perfect society. Yes, we would. A near-perfect society. Does anyone have any questions? Night after night, I read news to you, and you don't hear the news, I presume, because most people don't listen. I watched tonight; they didn't listen. Does someone have any a magnifying glass? Is there a magnifying glass around here? There used to be. I have to put it 18 miles away if I give any news. Meantime, you might ask some questions, because we're not going through reports. We're just going to have a little bit of gathering. Anybody have any questions on anything? of Japan and what? What the Japanese will not do, and the Germans either, they will not, they have surplus, and they will not release any of their surplus, nor will they import, and they put up trade barriers to protect the capitalists of Japan and Germany. And if they would just increase, I don't remember the percentage, if they would increase their importing as opposed to their exporting just by a small percentage, it would be able to balance out at least this awful tricky period in the capitalist scene. Of course, it's all just patchwork, you know, and invariably and inevitably, you'll see the consummation of total destruction of capitalism. It's just bound to be. See, the United States is having to import. Nobody will buy United States products. The United States doesn't have sufficiency. We've utilized most of our basic resources. They've been consumed, been completely used up. So they're having to go to the world market to buy more and more, and so they've got a healthy trade deficit. They're in debt, no way to pay. And this is a very difficult situation. If Japanese would buy more things from the United States, and Germany would buy more things from the United States, it would balance that to some degree. But capitalists have never been known for sharing. The nature of the instinct of capitalism is greed. And so Japanese capitalists are going to look after Japanese. And the German fascist capitalists are going to look after German capitalists. And they have right now an unhealthy margin of surplus. Anybody else have any question? Yes.
When we was in socialism class, Dan said that in Algeria they had a lot of petroleum. But when I was reading in one of those encyclopedias, it said that after the revolution, it left their economy weak. And I want to know how it could be weak with that. I want this petroleum.
Just one. You didn't believe yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I want to hear that question again. She had to run in. Stay there. No, but I don't want to miss this question. Stand by. What are you saying? She had to go into Port Khartoum because of the power failure to make calls on certain important matters. Every day there's a crisis. Fortunately, not every day a white night. The 21st of this month, we broke through the ice. We had some barriers being put up by the one CIA. The 21st of this month, we'll become a legal Guyanese school. That may not seem like much to you. It's the first time any commune has been allowed self-government. The first time in the history of Guyana that anything but a government school has been recognized. And that shows what solidarity of the people can do. The entire Guyana Board of Education had nothing but praise for our school. So those who work against us have not been able to succeed here, at least, and that's good. That's where we're at anyway. I'm so anxious to get our people here. She'll finish up other worthy points of news. Things are looking up basically in this country because we're getting a socialist course. I like that. I don't care what the hell that leads to, as long as you can fight on the lines of your principle. And it shows that the country's majority wants socialism of the government, or we would not be recognized as a public school. Because that gives us self-sufficiency, that can give us isolation from the rest of the community, that gives us an opportunity to strengthen our internal security. Our people don't have to come and go. Every other youngster in Port Kaituma, they have to come from miles to that school, and they stay there for 6 weeks, no less at a time. And they live in there, and they stay there night and day, and work there at night and day. And that's the way the government has of breaking up clanism and family counter-revolutionary selfishness that ingrown families. And we were supposed to go to that Kaituma school. It was built. Port Kaituma school was built with us in mind. And I refused to go, and we had a white night over it. You remember? We had a hell of a white night. And anyway, we won that. And today we want it officially. All the board voted unanimously. As of the 21st of this month, we will be a public elementary school and a public high school, incorporated and licensed. Peace and love. Yes, little Martin, what were you asking?
Yeah, when we was in socialism class, Dan said that Algeria had a lot of petroleum, and then I was reading an encyclopedia, and it said that after the revolution in Nigeria, Nigeria became a weak country, had a weak economy, and I want to know how it got that with all the petroleum.
I'm not familiar with oil in Algeria. Yes, Jan.
I was going very quickly
to Africa, and they had a national natural resource. Well, I'm going to take more time, but I'm going to take the time next time and try to effect that. That's good. We need a socialist encyclopedia. What encyclopedia did you say
we had a poor economy, honey? It was on the encyclopedia and the thing. It was encyclopedia.
One thing you can't believe everything you read in terms of U.S. approach. U.S. will take facts and twist them, make things look worse than they are. Algeria must have had a pretty strong people with a fair amount of resources, or they wouldn't have been able to win their independence from France. But it's a good question. Keep on reading and keep challenging your teachers like that. I hope that we'll be able to get more and more Soviet literature, and we should ask for this when they come in English, so that we can get free of some of this goddamn propaganda that we pick up in every book that we read. Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you for reminding me. There are about 50 movies in which we'll be able to get Soviet movies free, and that's very good. We'll enjoy seeing something with some value.
The Japanese helping the United States out in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I noticed that they did buy lots of property on the West Coast. And I'm wondering if this is their way of retaliating for the atomic bomb being dropped upon them.
Well, undoubtedly, they don't feel too good. It's a good point. Undoubtedly, they don't feel too good about the American capitalists who want to destroy them and their people by such a horrible act as the effort to destroy utterly Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And now it's been said that 344,000 people died in that dreadful bombing. So I'm quite confident you're right. The Japanese took the advantage of building up their economy, but down intrinsically. Many are predicting a war between Japan and the United States in time. There's now what they call a trade war. It's obviously a trade war exists, but they're predicting another war because the United States doesn't seem, thank you so much, the United States does not it can't talk them into anything. Just cannot talk them into any kind of negotiations whatsoever. Anybody have any questions for him, how we can improve, or something going on here that you would like to see change, other than it's limited to your narrow little perspective? By the way, now rape is taking a pattern in news events. It's a very, very, very frightening situation. Here's a typical decision. First is excuse that a permissive society makes a rape natural response. This has been upheld by the high court to the way women dress. Then the women hitchhikers advertise that they wouldn't mind exchanging sex for a ride. Now finally, Hawaii's highest district judge, Robert Richardson, has joined Wisconsin Judge Archie Simonson, California Judge Lynn Compton, in using sexist arguments to acquit an accused rapist. Richardson dismissed the rape charge against a white Marine in Honolulu on March 24 because he said the victim had failed to put up enough resistance. Now notice this. The victim, an Asiatic, had testified that she was hit by the Marine's car while jogging. She's out jogging. She wasn't hitchhiking. Forced into the car by knife point and raped, sodomized, fucked in the ass, that means, sodomized, when then threatened with a broken cut bottle to cut her throat. On March 5th, 700 people demonstrated at the Honolulu courthouse demanding that the Supreme Court federal judge consider whether Richardson, or the Supreme Court consider whether Richardson is fit to hold his post. However, it will achieve nothing because Hawaiian judges are appointed to office and not subject to citizen recall. Real attitude. You'd think that there'd be a progressive attitude in the country, but not so. Anyone knows anything about radio? Al and Mike Carter, would you go see, if you would, please? Radio, we were thinking that our radio may be not functioning properly here. Anybody have a question? Seriousness of that. A woman is raped, run over by a car to block, to stop her, run over when she's jogging to exercise, and the courts of Wisconsin and California in similar judgments uphold that the woman is contributing to it by being out on the street. And so she's sodomized, screwed in the rear, in the anus of the ass, and beaten, threatened to be cut by a jagged bottle, and she's contributed to the rape, and so the white man goes free, and the little bit of racism there, of course, too, and the Asiatic is guilty. And scarred, all the newspapers, her name's printed, and she'll bear the scars all of her life, and he doesn't go to jail at all. Nice 24-year-old white Marine officer. I don't really see the seriousness of these kind of things. They represent very dangerous patterns. Atheism was denied as a right to exist and get tax privileges by the Supreme Court, by the way. Madeline Murray O'Hara, famed atheist spokesperson, is going to take her movement outside the United States. She has not announced where she will go. But she said it's a dark day in the United States for anyone who has the feeling they're going to dissent. Freedom of speech or freedom of belief, it just doesn't exist anymore. And we're fortunate to be here. Whatever kind of problems we have, we're fortunate to be here. Yes, yes, yes.
If the country would go over to the part of the Soviet bloc, how would that affect the U.S., you know, with the embassy here and, you know, just overall in general?
Well, interesting enough, our intelligence, and we have considerable intelligence trying to work through Georgetown, our intelligence has it that the U.S. Embassy is meeting more and more these days with Dr. Chetty Jagan and trying to act like they've been friendly all the time. This would show to me that the United States is facing up to a new reality. In an open meeting with our people, our delegation, Prokes and
Sharon and Debbie and several others. He was talking about him being a good friend of Chetty Jagan. You were there too on one occasion. Since then they've had another meeting. So he's talking about being a friend of the Moscow opposition party here. What is it? How many know what it is? Hold it. How many know what the opposition party is? Well, you people don't know this by now. The classes were doing their job. That ought to be a basic thing you go over every time. There's certain basics you have to go over. You really do. So people can be sure they have them. The PPP, the People's Progressive Party, is the opposition party. Dr. Chetty Jagan just received the honors of the Supreme Soviet. They gave him the honors as doing more for communism in the Caribbean and in Guyana than any other person. Now, if the U.S. ambassador is courting him, it would show to me that the United States may be in a position economically where they're going to have to accept a government. Maybe it'll be a government coalition that promises not to bring direct military Soviet presence here. I don't know. But it certainly is obvious that the U.S. Embassy wants to let it be known that they're not an enemy of the PPP. I see us having no difficulty at all if the PPP comes into power. Much less difficult than we now have. The PNC, what is the PNC? People's National Congress. I don't know who else could come in power. We've met with the Working People's Alliance. It's the only other strong faction. Dr. Walter Rodney, who's over in the GDR, the German Democratic Republic, a very modern communist country in Europe. That Comrade Christian's made a picture of our homeland, our motherland, our spiritual motherland, the Soviet Union. That's so much vaster. I guess the Soviet Union, what is it in comparison to the United States? I think it's better than twice the size.
8 million square miles, and the U.S. is 3 million.
Yes, thank you, thank you. It's almost three times the size. The Soviet Union is almost three times the United States size. And you see the red star over the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And you can then get the idea of its size by what Prof said. It is 800,000 square miles as opposed to the United States 300,000, almost three times the size of the USA. In Africa, you get an education and ought to have an education. Because there is where history is going to be made. There's probably where Western civilization is going to fall. Because I don't see Western civilization giving up Africa easily. They may be forced to, but what are they going to do? When they have no markets to exploit, they're already in trouble. They have to get cheap resources to keep up their high standard of living. That's a bad advantage. You know, when you first came here, you were accustomed to certain things. Very difficult withdrawal you went through. Well, the U.S. ruling class is not going to accept that withdrawal. In order for them to have what they have today, in order for America to have the few comforts that they have, and a lot of people are starving to death this winter and freezing to death, they have had to be able to drain South Africa at the bottom, Rhodesia. What is it, the very important and scarce metal? In fact, it's one of the singular places of the world where that metal is found. Hmm? Yeah. Say it loud. Platinum. Well, Rhodesia is being lost to the liberation forces, the patriotic front. You see that purple there? Always when I point it out, there should be someone there to put their finger up and point where it's at. Rhodesia. Thank you, honey. Right there's Rhodesia. And even the capitalists right on the border it is of South Africa, our people are in concentration camps, so right at the tip. Look over here and try to learn. See the tip of the map, the bottom. That's where all of our people are in concentration camps. But with all the United States support and corporations and military presence even there, giving them the most modern jet aircraft, they're not able to protect little Rhodesia. Rhodesia's falling. It's two tracks. It's two main arteries into South Africa have been cut off by the Patriotic Front. They regain them in a few hours and they're cut off again. The Patriotic Front is getting direct aid from the Soviets and the Cubans being flown in and being shipped in from Mozambique by a ship. Mozambique is right on the west coast. or on the east coast, rather. See Mozambique? It's up just above, right there, right all that long. That's a communist government there. And Zambia also supplies right above Rhodesia. And Tanzania is sending in supplies to Rhodesia, the Patriotic Front, to bring down the white racist regime of that purple area again, pointed out again. Rhodesia, which is what? Zimbabwe. Shifty. Terry Carter, they need you. We have contact. Terry Buford, I'm sorry. Thank you, Sharon. Now, I think that you'll see a nuclear war come out of that situation. Today, Spain is being intimidated by the Canary Islands. They ought to be put on the map up there a little bit above where it is, just on, off the left above Africa. Morocco, where's Morocco? Right over the Kutub, yeah. Is in a battle with the Spanish Sahara. Algeria is trying to free the Spanish Sahara. A lot of oil there. And they're getting nowhere. United States, of course, who's backing Morocco? Morocco is one of the few fascist countries left. It's backed by USA, of course. And Algeria, the people's socialist democracy, is being backed again with the Soviet Union. And Algerians did a wise thing today. They got Spain all shook up, who's been holding on to the Spanish Sahara. They said, give her up, or we'll bring in, and they're bringing in the Canary Island main broadcasting station and beaming in radio transmissions to the Canary Islands, telling them to revolt and burn down Spanish government buildings and everything else. And so the little Canary Islands, just a few dots in the Atlantic Ocean, have a revolutionary red brigade, and they're setting fire and raising all kind of hell. And the U.S. said they're going to have to do something about this, but Algeria said go fuck themselves, in so many words, because they want to free the Spanish Sahara region that's under a terrible bondage. And Spain needs a little peace up in the Canary Islands, so there's some thought that there may be concessions made there, and at least some of the political hostages that are being held by the Spanish dictatorship, which has been moderated a little bit, but still is a fascist military. Who was the founder of fascism in Spain? Generalissimo Franco. Finally died, the son of a bitch. But there's so much in Africa that can stir up any second. And the United States is having enough trouble now, it can't make it. What the hell's going to happen when it loses its cheap labor for the chrome and platinum and rubber and gold in South Africa? What the hell's going to happen? We're working those people for 16, 21 cents a day, 21 cents an hour. And they throw the yoke of oppression off. And now we can't make it go with our present economy as it is. So when we lose all of our poor slaves across the world and they arouse, their emancipation comes. Rise, you prisoners of starvation. Rise, you wretched of the earth. You have nothing to lose but your chains. And they've heard that cry, and they're keeping on and persisting, by God. Namibia is promised independence. If you can show Namibia, I don't know their comrade Christian marked it off. It's just the upper part of Union of South Africa, over to the east, the west coast, right to the west coast. To the west coast, right down that area. That's Namibia. And South Africa thought they were going to control that little province and put in a puppet prime minister, and he got assassinated by the people today. I mean, last 2 weeks ago. So they put another one in, and he got assassinated today. And the news this afternoon said they couldn't get no takers to take the job. Nobody wanted a job. So Namibia is going to be free. Angola right above it. That was where Cuba and Russia piled supplies in. The United States threatened nuclear war, but I guess they wanted to eat a few more McDonald's hamburgers. They didn't carry it out, and Angola's free. Zaire's in trouble. U.S. trying to hold it together, but Zaire's in trouble.
That's the other main fascist hold of U.S. is right there in the Belgium Congo. That's where the famed Patrice Lumumba that Marthia was singing about, that's where he was drugged for miles. He was drugged to death, killed by fascist reactionaries. The University of Moscow is the most famous university's name, the University of Patrice Lumumba. Great African leader, the good die young. But his mark is felt there indelibly because Zaire, Prime Minister Mobutu, the dictator, is having one hell of a time holding Zaire together. All of Africa is aflame with liberation. And Africa has got so many essential minerals to the U.S. keeping its standard of living. They're in trouble. Real trouble. And I'm glad they're in trouble. And the more they're in trouble, the more I can get our people out of there while they're fighting over other issues. But the U.S. is in so much nervousness about any kind of cooperative existing. Old Delancey Street and whatever that Maher is trying to kiss ass. His brother on the Board of Education has gone against they fired all the black administrators, by the way. Replaced every black teacher. The housing department that I was chairman, Willie Ussery, who used to hate me, said, "I wish Jim Jones was back." He told Vera Young, "I wish he was back." Every black person has been removed from any supervisorial position in housing, and every black employee in San Francisco Housing Department is being replaced. Redeployed. And Willie Ussery was crying on this. He said, "Our differences were not too much when I think of the fact that he was chairman. My vote, when I had to resign to save you, the man that took it, good old Uncle Tom Anderson, voted against them, went with the majority. And so the Board of Education, some of the people they thought were liberals they put in, gone with the system in the firing of some 59 black teachers. And our good friend, I always think of her by a code name, Yvonne Golden. She's very ill, by the way. She has a very, very dangerous blood clot in her leg. And they've been marching around trying to get some demonstrations, but it's a waste of time. Yvonne Golden will wake up one day. It's a waste of time. They're not going to do a goddamn thing about it. And good old this new black Tom that's in the town that's taking over Third Baptist, Reverend Brown, Amos Brown, is taking over and just he's utterly decimating the NAACP. And they had a black man that was supposed to be the sheriff. What's our man that we supported? No. They was going to put the man that was, we fought, Rob Williams, Rodney Williams. He was going to make it. And who cut him down? Amos Brown cut his ass down. And they put a Tom in who's kiss-assing already. They put him in and he's kiss-assing already. And there's a lot of brutality charges against the San Francisco Sheriff's Department. And that's just one city. I'm just talking about the city we came from. And I haven't begun to tell you at all. Will Battle stopped and talked about the police brutality in the San Francisco police. He said, "When are you people coming back?" "Well, yeah, when are we going to come back? They didn't worry about helping us while we were there." And Thad, what's the man that was the tax collector?
Thad Brown.
Oh, good, it's getting nervous now because they passed him up. He had 21,000 petition to get him appointed on the University Regent Board, and Brown didn't even mention him as a candidate. Governor Brown didn't even mention him. Herb Cain said, "What happened to Goodland? His name was passed over. Does he not exist?" Well, no, he doesn't exist. He's black. So now they're... Goodett's calling for a campaign to save Thad Brown's job. Now they're getting a little bit of concern. But Goodett didn't call for no campaign to save People's Temple when it was about to go down. But his ass getting a little nervous now because Thad Brown, the most popular, most powerful black leader in San Francisco, got the most votes, has been indicted and charged with whatever kind of felony it is for stealing money out of parking meters. Now that seems a little strange that the tax collector would be taking money out of parking meters, putting it in his pocket. Yeah, that's right. That's what they're accusing him of. The money for the parking meters is ending up in his pocket. That's San Francisco I mean, listen to the news, because you don't even listen to news when you're here, goddammit. I don't know what to do with you. You don't even listen while you're in here under the roof. Now, you better know this, because your teacher's taking these notes down. There's no excuse for not knowing this, because it's what you call a captive crowd. So you should know the news that I've been talking about. And we're having a lot of black leaders, various gangs, various organizations, various unions are being shot. It's a pattern. About one a week are being shot. Pretty good evidence that there's a conspiracy. And we're getting too hot to handle. Goodwin had his editor say, well, we can't cover as much of your news as we did. He was the communist. Goodwin was the communist. But he still wants my friendship. He wants to be able to visit us in July. Well, we'll see. We may put him in a... Our guest house is now taken, both guest houses, but we'll see what by July maybe it will be vacant for 7 days. Fuck these people. I'm sick of these people. Shift, please. A little guy here, thank you, and I'll come back to you, Lee. Little guy here is going to talk to me. Did you want to say something?
Dad, I had a question about...
Big guy, not little guy.
I had a question about Stalin, because before, when I was reading in a book about Lenin, they had Stalin and Trotsky. It said Stalin and Trotsky was enemies, but they were both in the office, you know, with alongside with Lenin. And then they said that they were Lenin and Stalin were trying to get Stalin out of office. That's what Stalin had thought when he was in. That's what was wrote in the book about it. So to get even with Lenin, he had made attack on his wife by saying that she had, because he was sick and had a stroke, and she wasn't supposed to get any political information or anything. He jumped on his wife and said that she had given him political information and started cussing her and stuff over the phone. And then later on, she had wrote a letter to another official about it, saying that she shouldn't be harassed about her personal life. And then later on, Lenin had wrote something in his testament, his last testament, that Stalin shouldn't be general secretary of the party because he's too rude to people. Then, but it was never... sent out to the Congress, where they settled and put people in office and took them out. But then later on in the book, it said that Stalin, if Lenin wouldn't have died, if Lenin would have lived 10 years longer, that Stalin would either have to shoot Lenin or just stand him.
You see, you're a marvelous reader, and this is why we got to get Soviet literature in our libraries. And it's something for you to read. If he has a visual problem, and for him to press and read, there's no excuse for you not doing it, because he has real difficulty, like his dad. He has difficulty seeing anything close up to him to be able to see the book that he's read so well. But unfortunately, you have undoubtedly read an American text. And it's good that you brought this issue up. Stalin would have never shot Lenin. I don't believe that. I think there's power struggles, but I don't think we could possibly get the historical sense of it from the USA version. The USSR does not subscribe to this. They do say there was attempts on Lenin's life, but it was not by Stalin. Stalin and Trotsky did have their differences. What was the difference? What can someone tell is the major difference that Trotsky and Stalin had? Yes, Rankin? Be allowed. He was an internationalist. He believed the international revolution inspiring worldwide revolution at one time. And Stalin said that it was impractical. If he did so, the reactionaries, the capitalists, would come down on Russia and there would be no base for the international. Who do you think was right? Who's right? Yes, because the Soviet Union now has, that's a good point, Dick.
The Soviet Union now has better than half the world population in its influence of liberation. And Trotsky had done his rather idealistic dreaming, which is idealistic indeed. Start revolutions over unless you've got your ass secured. But what would that be like us going down to Port Khartoum and taking it over tonight? I think it'd be a little premature. Well, you go down to Port Khartoum, though, in a couple of weeks, I think, a couple of 3 weeks, I think they'll try to get another program. Change your program, a little style, and go back and get another program. I'll call them out here, whatever. I think it's better probably to go there, maybe take some treats, see what we can do to maybe make a little money for the party, a little money for us, see this time have a nominal charge. That way we'll take it over through education and integration. Wake up now, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. We're supposed to all be smiling here. Right. If I were being severe, you would be. But you see, you're taking it easy because I'm being nice like I am. I love you and I don't like to raise my voice with you. But don't take advantage of this period, because then we have to get tough again. And I hate toughness. But we can get tough. And you'd think we'd be crazy, wouldn't we, if we went down with our guns and took over Port Khartoum tonight? The USA wouldn't accomplish anything, as Stephen said. And the USA would interfere. We'd give them everything they want. Say, yeah, they are. Exporting revolution. A bunch of goddamn revolutionaries are going to start communism all over the country. Of course, they know we're going to do that anyway. That's why they're biting at their ass. But we're giving them no proof. Providing no proof at all, and we're playing it carefully. That's the end justifies what? Being pragmatic, being careful. I don't believe all those fictionalized stories, son, but it's good for you to read everything like you're doing. It's very good for you to read everything. But we need to get them, guide them in the library. The library needs to guide them towards some Soviet sources, and we need to call tomorrow and tell them to get that Soviet literature out on that boat, so that these kids can get some history that's not filled with a poison pen of capitalism, trying to make everything look that there's no principles in anybody and everybody's a capitalist at heart looking after power. I don't think that's so. I think that the Soviet Union has proven in their free medicine, their free education, their tremendous, the most compassionate counseling program for marriage, domestic difficulties, family difficulties in every little city and village, their world peace program, the humane kind of bombs they've made only in self-defense. What shows the Soviet Union's humanitarian? What's give me an example of the Soviet Union's humanitarian pattern in its warfare.
Working in hospitals.
Yes. Over half their military spends time helping their people. But now you take the United States has been able to build only at the best a working 40 megaton nuclear weapon. A 40 megaton nuclear weapon high over the say 2,000, 3,000 feet over Bakersfield will burn up Los Angeles. But the Soviet Union have made 100 megaton. But what's the difference between the Soviet Unions? Shows humanitarian again. Yes. Can you tell us? No, more than that, they have to have it prepared to use, because you've been dealing with vicious capitalist pigs. They've encased it with lead and brought its potency down to 60 megaton. They've encased it so there'll be little fallout with it, as little fallout as possible, as little radiation to damage human life. Soviet Union doesn't make a neutron bomb. Who makes it? U.S. makes a neutron bomb. The Soviet Union has never made napalm. That's jelly that falls on people in the skin, just slides off their body, like it was in Vietnam. You can tell the humanitarians, you can tell that socialism is effectual and honest in the Soviet Union. By the kind of the things, as Lee said, the army does peace work, the army does humanitarian work, their kind of bombs, their military weapons are humane. U.S. makes dirty weapons, dirtiest bombs there are. That shows that they're vicious at heart.
and shows the superiority of our spiritual motherland, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR. Now, everybody should know that here tonight. And we should pound on these fundamentals that I'm bringing in the class. Because if we move too fast from news to news, they don't capture any of it. Four towns needed: Nat Sweeney, Francine Hallman, and Claudia Boquette, and Pam Bradshaw, and Ines Connolly. I told them how to do that. They come here in the order that I told them, and come in here and wave their hand like they're supposed to. They're supposed to go, would you all go out at the same time now so we can get this done? Okay, quickly. When you come back, you wave your hands. Shift, please, again, for just a little bit. We need the education. You ought to study those maps like you used to study your Bible. You studied about Pearly Gates, and ain't no fucker but a drunk ever saw Pearly Gate when he was hallucinating in the last stages of DDT. Ain't no Pearly Gate, and you dumbass fuckers, some of you, sit out there and you...